Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Dumbs like a truck, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. West Ham win in Europe again, and the England squad is in. It's Friday, 1st of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Welcome, one and all. It's Friday. We've made it together.
Yeah.
We've made it together again. Jim, how you doing, baby?
I'm good.
Uh-huh.
Al?
You're happy about West Ham? What?
I am.
Do you know what I love about West Ham in Europe, Luke Moore?
What's that?
They're enjoying it and we're enjoying it.
I'm still reeling from a mention for the thong song on the Ramble. I just came from nowhere.
It does creep in a lot.
Does it? The thong song?
Yeah, Jules is a big fan.
Is she?
Okay. I mean, it is the high point of all art.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's definitely the most culturally important thing to happen in the year 1999.
Absolutely.
Was it 99?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, if you've ever seen...
It's very 20th century, that song.
Yes. If you've ever seen an interview with Sisko talking about it, like, he means every word.
Oh, yeah.
It's magnificent.
Yeah, but did he not say recently, no, it was about my wife.
Well, he performed it at his own wedding.
Yeah. Apparently, I've been told by the producers it came out in February 2000.
But it felt like 99.
Well, it's right where to start a new century.
Absolutely.
Luke, the truth is all relative nowadays. So it came out in 99 for you. It came out in the February 2000 for others.
Yeah, I heard a different story.
Exactly, yeah. What is not relative is that West Ham beat Rapid Vienna 2-0 last night. 2-0. Like I said, it's just wonderful to see them enjoying it. It was also nice to see Jules on the telly talking to the Cole brothers.
Yeah.
Carlton and Joe. And I like the fact that Joe Cole referred to Carlton Cole as Coley on the TV. And Jules was amused by that as well.
It's been a long, long quest for Jules to find a football player the same height as her. She's been lumbered with Mark Schwarzer for far too long.
Yeah, so Joe Cole's a bit more, yeah. He's probably more similar height to me, so you're going in the right direction.
Jules, Joe, Colton.
Yeah, big time.
I imagine that Joe Cole probably calls his reflection Coley as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I love Joe Cole.
I do as well. He's
one to watch.
Real prospect. Very skillful.
I mean, yeah, for men of our age, though, that has been... Like, he was about 10 years old when people started hyping him, genuinely. Yeah. And then he actually delivered.
Well, he got a collector's item in the 2006 World Cup.
He did.
What a beauty it was. Are you saying he's the Greta Thunberg of football players?
In a way, yeah. I think his goal in that tournament might have actually gone, like, technically out of the stadium.
Yes.
And then back down into it.
Mm-hmm.
It was
beautiful
amazing.
Thing.
Very clever. Very clever indeed. But West Ham, they're on for it in the Europa League. David Moyes said it was okay. He said it was okay. He's nudging towards positivity, of course.
A bit of Brother Brendy vibes.
A little bit, yeah. Well, we'll come on to Leicester in a bit. Someone's got to fill that role, haven't they? Because obviously Rodgers and the boys are struggling. Declan Rice scored his second goal in the Europa League as well. What a run from deep, Luke Moore.
Oh, he's added that to his game.
Yes.
He's a player that can do a bit of everything. And we have spoken, haven't we? I think it might have been ahead of the Euros. We talked a bit about how, you know, he's being asked not just by his manager at West Ham, but by Southgate as well. You know, can you do a bit more? He said to me when I interviewed him, a lot of his players around him were like, well, you know, why don't you shoot often? You're actually you can shoot pretty well. Why don't you shoot more? And now he's starting to add that kind of forward thinker stuff to his game. He is a player who, I mean, West Ham fans won't thank me for saying this. He'll go to the very top. He's still so young. He's still got a lot more to
improve.
Can
he take West Ham to the top?
Well, I think he would like to think that he can. I know he loves West Ham, and I know that West Ham love him. So, I mean, that would be the romantic thing.
Mm.
But unfortunately, these romantic things these days only tend to happen when the team's already very good, don't they?
Yes.
Steven Gerrard, Ryan Giggs. Yeah, but you're doing stuff all the time.
Leicester City.
Well, what player has been at Leicester City his whole career?
Yeah, that's true. Jamie Vardy, famously.
Yeah, he hasn't.
Came through their academy, did he not?
Can I say that I know there was some trouble in the crowd. I don't want to gloss over that, and obviously that's important, and we need to wait and see what comes out of that because it's still early. But as a general point, it was actually pretty cool to see that stadium so full in an evening game in Europe. And actually, given the problems that the club has had with that stadium, and I'm not absolving them of the ownership of any kind of blame, but it was just a cool thing to see as an impartial observer watching the game. It was a big stadium. Yep. It was full. It looked like that kind of night was what that stadium was ultimately for because of what we saw with the Olympics and stuff. I know it's still got problems, but it was just from an outsider looking in, it was quite a cool thing.
But they still had the protests with the owners, I think. Is it Hammers United? Forgive me if that's wrong. The group who are protesting the owners. And I think that there's a balance to be struck because it's our Newcastle fans are finding it with Ashley. You know, you love going to see your team play.
Yeah.
And you don't want to let certain owners ruin that for you. You kind of think, well, no, this is what I love. I'm not letting you take that away. But at the same time, I still want to protest.
Yes.
And that balance seemed to be there last night with regards to the West Ham fans.
It's a tough one, that, isn't it?
It is.
It's almost like separating the art from the artist. Oh, I'm never drinking again. You know you're going to go back to these things.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, very... However much, you know, you don't like the ownership of your club or certain things that are happening, it's very, very difficult to just, like, walk away from it.
But you've got to strike that balance,
haven't you?
Yeah.
And they know that, of course.
Yeah, that's the very crux of the problem. And we've talked about this in different contexts over the years. The way that people make decisions, bad decisions at football clubs, can get away with it is because ultimately, it's a horrible phrase to use, but you know what I mean. The customer base, if you like, is so different.
Mm-hmm.
You're not realistically going to go down the road and go and support Arsenal or Spurs. You are always going to support West Ham. They know that, so it's much easier for them to take advantage of you.
Well, they'd be very welcome at the Emirates, wouldn't they, Jim? The West Ham fans, if they turned up, wanted to support Arsenal?
Well, I mean, how would I know that they weren't Arsenal fans? Presumably.
Probably because they'd be making a noise.
They'd still... From the King of Surrey over there.
Can I just have a chance to say? I didn't have a chance to say it earlier in the week.
Go on.
The atmosphere at the North London Derby looked amazing.
Oh, it's always amazing for that. Yeah, they save it up.
Yeah. Is it like saving stamps for Christmas?
Yeah, it's like you feel the stadium move. It's unreal.
You just wait until Bournemouth turn up at the cottage, mate.
Yeah?
And then you'll see.
That's the big one, is it? Yeah. I'll hear it from North London, will I?
What could be more intimidating than the cottage? Least intimidating name for a stadium.
I have you know, there really is a cottage.
Yeah.
Right, lads, Victoria sponges away.
the only thatched stadium in Europe.
It's a lovely time.
Oh, no, I love it. I love going. I've got
no beef. It's a lovely time, but so is a spa day. You know what I mean?
but, West Ham are having a lovely time. They're top of their group.
They are. And isn't it brilliant? Like, you're going back to, you know, the stadium and the issues they've had. We've said this before, but it bears repeating that they do need to make these memories in the stadium. You know, Upton Park was
That's a place that they loved so much.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, there is a buzz around it. And it's a brilliant, brilliant thing to witness. And, like, the light show as well. Those things can often look a bit shit, but this was great.
Is that the owners trying to get them back on side?
Probably.
Apparently it's LED lighting systems. Though it's not some sort of.
So I think that means it's technically more environmentally friendly.
Yes.
Right.
Uses less energy if it's LED, I think.
They did have like fire as well, didn't they? Which I feel like.
Fire's an element that must be respected.
I mean, like, during the game when the goals go in.
Yeah. Remember James Hetfield, the lead singer and guitar player of Metallica, got burnt by a big load of fire at a gig once?
Mm. He's quite hard though, isn't he?
Oh yeah.
He could probably handle it.
Probably what shaped the man.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. So well done to West Ham, though. That was a rare sort of bright spark, if you will, for the British club.
Ben Rama's goal as well, a little note on that. That was almost like...
Poor defending.
Yeah, but almost like the sort of goal you see scored by a five-a-side maverick.
Yeah.
Just like really casually sort of passing it into the net. I love that about him.
I thought the defender, I was like, what were we hoping for there? He's obviously going to go on to his right, but there we are. It was late in the day and he's a good player, Jim, so we shouldn't...
It's the second great result for West Ham in that group. Beating Dinamo Zagreb away is obviously a big result. They've not conceded a goal yet. They look almost certain to go through this group now.
Yeah.
And as we've seen in the Europa League, it can be, depending on the draw, it can be doable until probably, the semis? Yeah. So, I mean, you've got to read
as Mark Noble, or Nobes, as they were calling it, was saying that the Champions League clubs, when they drop in, you know, that can be obviously quite...
That's what I mean, but depending on the draw.
It's always depending on the draw, Jim.
Yeah.
Depending on the draw. So we go from the highs to West Ham to the genuinely depressing scenes in Prague for Rangers 1-0 defeat to Sparta Prague. The Sparta Prague fans racially abused Monaco's Aurelien Tchouameni, so they had a stadium closure last night, but 10,000 local kids under 14 years old were let in. And Glenn Kamara, who of course was racially abused by Slavia's Andre Kudela last season, was booed with every touch he took.
I have to question how this is a punishment.
Letting under 14s.
Well, isn't the point that, you know, there aren't supposed to be fans there? And like just kicking that can down the road, slightly changing the demographic of the fans that is there, doesn't seem to be a punishment to me.
I know what you mean. But having young fans in like that who sort of go, we're going to behave like this towards a player who was...
It's really depressing. It shows you the root of the problem, doesn't it? And how this stuff carries down the generations, how kids can be influenced by what they see at home.
It's got to be just about the bleakest thing you can really...
I didn't think it could get any bleaker, to be honest.
And
then you see that and it's like...
Sadly, it just shows you the size of the problem. Now, I don't know the detail on this. I didn't see the game because, for those who don't know or otherwise care... It's quite a lot of football to get involved in on a Thursday night. You can't watch everything all the time. So I haven't seen the game in its entirety. I haven't personally witnessed what's been reported, although I don't doubt the veracity of it. But if what's been reported is true, it just shows you the sheer depth of the problem societally in these places where it's happening. Of course, we have our own problems here. We always have to say that. It's just... Beyond the problem is tedious, we have to talk about it all every single time. It feels like every single time there's a round at the moment of European fixtures or international fixtures, there is a problem. Of course, we must also point out that someone in this country has just been sent to prison for racial offences towards a footballer. Mm. So clearly these things aren't isolated in certain parts of the world that we stereotype them as. But that is a bleak, bleak problem and does show how deep these problems go in certain places when you've got kids. Kids don't grow up racist. Mm. Kids don't care what colour your skin is when they're playing with their kids' friends in the playground. It just doesn't happen. That's learnt behaviour, and they have been taught that behaviour by adults. Mm. And that is the most depressing thing you can imagine.
Yeah, exactly. And when a player does sort of, you know, say, look, this has happened and comes forward with it, it seems like, as you say, Jim, they're being punished now for that.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, maybe I'm being naive here, but certainly maybe before... It would be a case if there would be, you know, you're kind of a small minority and they would get punished. Whereas now it almost seems like, let's rally round those who are being called.
Well, because it becomes part of the culture war.
It's part of the culture war bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
And also,
exactly.
You know, the fact we all feel strongly at the podcast generally that we do need to talk about this stuff when it happens. I'm sure there are times where we miss it because it happens so often. But you get people on the right who talk about how, the bloody woke left just constantly banging on about injustice and this, that and the other. So even calling it out, is attacked, which is a really sad state of affairs. But Romain Sawyers said himself after the guy who abused him was sentenced that do call it out. Players need to call it out. And there is a resistance to this stuff. It is happening. And there are people like Romain Sawyers who unfortunately are put in the limelight in a way that makes them quite vulnerable because they are the victim of something horrible. And nobody likes to sort of see themselves as a victim or be cast as a victim. But people are resisting. And you know, you look at Raheem Sterling and Marcus Rashford, and there are positive examples of how people just aren't having it anymore. So I always try and think of that when it gets me down, because people have had enough. And this has been going on a long time. It's just people are resisting now, so those doing it are kind of getting a bit more entrenched. But hopefully we will look back on this period as actually a turning point rather than a low point.
Yeah, it was a shame Kamara got sent off, and one could say it was slightly harsh, the second yellow. But
I agree.
He was sent off, a great shame, and there we are. But Rangers, they did lose the game, which seems sort of insignificant when you talk about that sort of stuff. Elsewhere in the Europa League, Legia Warsaw beat Leicester 1-0. Leicester, what is happening to them this season?
They look awful, don't they? That's the problem. It's not like they're not quite clicking, or they've had a few bad results go their way. They look so bad that I'm actually starting to question Brendan Rodgers' future a little bit. Like, is the magic wearing off? You know, is it getting a bit stale?
Yeah, no, this can happen. But I found it quite funny that Legia Warsaw's players did their post-match interviews with t-shirts that read Legia Warsaw 1, Leicester City 0.
I found that absolutely bizarre. I couldn't work it out and how that had happened.
Quite disrespectful.
Yeah.
All I can think of, unless we've been absolutely tricked, which, because obviously when you get to our age, you can't really trust the internet
anymore. Yeah.
No, that's true.
It feels like they must have just had such a strong tactical plan that they thought it was how we're going to do it.
Yeah. Do you think though?
Lovely goal, by the way. Great finish.
It was a nice goal. Yeah. Do you think though that they had like loads of different scores on the t-shirts?
Oh, we could have done that. Yeah, they could have done that.
They had like 2-1s, they had 2-0s, all sorts.
They could have done
that. Would they have been happy with the point? If they'd have got a point, would they have brought the t-shirt?
So it's like the t-shirt equivalent of when these like troll Twitter accounts post the result of every single
game and then delete them.
Yeah, it could have been that. I didn't think about that. I mean, the Leicester thing is interesting, isn't it? Because they've... It's tempting to say that you've got to worry about them. But if you look at the results, the last handful of results or whatever, I mean, you'll probably put aside the League Cup win they had. They've lost to Man City narrowly. They lost to a resurgent Brighton, who have been good, and things are starting to click into place for them. They drew with Burnley, and then they drew with Napoli as well, didn't they?
Mm. They did draw with Napoli.
And had a player sent off in that game. So I don't know if it's quite that drastic, but it's clearly not the amazing start that everyone kind of expected from them, given what we've seen in recent seasons. Yeah. But having said that, you know, I know they're not as good as Man City, but imagine, remember how low in the table Man City were like last season.
True.
They were 10th at one point, weren't they? And the only thing I would add is just that they do seem to be conceding quite a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, I think they're one of only a handful of teams. It might even be the only team outside. No, not actually, because Arsenal have conceded a few as well. That kind of profile team to concede double figures so far. So it's not ideal.
True.
Yeah, I just feel like, I mean, maybe this is wide of the mark, but based on what I saw yesterday, I feel like they're not setting the agenda in games in a way they maybe did last season.
That's not an agenda, Brenda. No. That's where you were going wrong earlier, wasn't it?
Arsenal, so like when Arsenal used to say Arsenal used to have football happening to them.
Yes.
It's a bit like that.
A little bit like that. In the other game in the group that Leicester involved in, Spartak Moscow beat Napoli 3-2. 12 yellow cards and 2 reds, which is quite the game. before the game, it looked like Napoli manager Luciano Spalletti had to ask someone who Spartak's coach was in order to introduce him.
He 100% has that. There is no doubt that
Spartak's
was what happened.
Coach is Rui Vitória, who he managed Benfica for a handful of years. Like, he's not a nobody.
It's a power play.
Maybe. Well, it didn't work, did it?
Was it Spalletti who Andy said that like was sat and used to sit in the cafe after training when he was coaching the team in Italy? I forget which one it was. Just slagging people off.
That sounds about right.
And the journalists like picked up on it. Like, all you got to do is go in that cafe. He's there, his coaching team, just slagging everyone off.
You get all the coach you want. Yeah.
You don't know who anyone is. Yeah,
exactly. If you're a tabloid journalist, get yourself in there. Yeah. But Spalletti is that type of Southern European man who he's bald but looks good with it.
Yeah,
he kind of
born to be bald.
Yeah, middle aged but kind of works out a little bit. I haven't seen him that close up recently, so forgive me, that's not right.
A bit of a, obviously, I know Sampaoli's from South America, but similar like probably some quite good guns going on.
Yes, exactly.
He's got a bit of the Sam Powley about him. I also, it's
tight black t-shirt and black trousers.
But you know, it's impossible to remember. We always talk about this, Marcus.
Yeah.
It's impossible to think of Marco Parkinson or Bruce Forsyth as young.
Yeah.
It's impossible to think of Luciano Spalletti ever having hair.
And not wearing a tight black t-shirt. Yeah. Or white.
Yeah.
Only dresses in white or black.
Yeah. Genuinely, though, even if you look at old pictures of Bruce Forsyth, he has never looked young.
No. Has Pitbull ever had hair?
Look at Spalletti with hair.
No, that's not him.
No.
It is.
Get lost.
There's so much hair.
There's no way that's him.
It's him. He's got Pat Nevin in the 80s hair.
Not having that.
We'll share that on social media.
That looks like almost like molasses dripping off his head rather than hair.
Hair molasses.
Mm.
Yeah.
How about that? Leicester face Crystal Palace on Sunday, of course, at Selhurst Park. Big one.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been quite quietly impressed with Crystal Palace, actually, so far.
They've been all right.
Yeah, been okay.
Yeah, exactly. What about Tottenham Hotspur? You been impressed with them? Because they beat Moura 5-1.
I'd found it difficult to accept that Moura were a real team.
5-1, even Harry Kane scored.
Scored three.
He did score three. Told you he was professional, didn't I?
Disrespectful to the Slovenian champions, I know.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, I'd never heard of them.
No.
So it was. I actually watched this game back and... Uh-huh. Obviously, Kane came off on as a sub and was able to put three in. But it's hard not to be disrespectful because I don't want to be one of those people who comes from like a traditional footballing country. And
it's
be
okay
like,
if you don't know much about the Slovenian.
No,
side.
I just think they were fucking shit.
That's fine.
The goal
absolutely
was good,
terrible.
Though, wasn't it? Goal of the game.
That was a brilliant goal. And that's what the goal seemed better because I was not expecting any kind of that technique like that.
It just like... It plonked right in the corner, right in the bottom corner.
Yeah.
It even bounced off whatever it is that pins the net down. A pin, I'd imagine.
Brian Hill, who was supposed to be closing it down, behaved more like a maitre d' at a nice restaurant. Very nice to see you. Mm-hmm. Please come in. We've got your favourite table.
Yes.
You have scored. There you go.
Oh, you have a ball. Please place that in the net.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want me to take that ball for you? Or are you going to put it in the net?
What's quite nice is that Kane's hat-trick is the very first hat-trick in the history of the Europa Conference League.
And how long is that history?
Not very long.
A couple of months.
Two games, is it? Yeah.
Well, but if he'd have gone to Man City, he wouldn't be making history like that.
True, actually.
So there you are.
History maker Kane.
Yeah. Absolutely. But,
nice one, Charlie.
Harry history.
Let me give a bit of... it'll come up Charlie Kane again. Let me have... Not laughing now, are they, Charlie? Let me have just a little bit more context on the thing that I just said that Moura were shit and that's unhelpful.
Uh-huh. They got beat 5-1?
They did, but it just felt to me that in the last...
Didn't Kane, deserve to be there.
Kane, if you'll allow me, they literally deserve to be there. Kane came on and scored this hat-trick in like 19 minutes or whatever it was, and no one seemed to get anywhere near him. The things he was doing... Basic stuff like peeling off the centre back and timing his run, and the centre back not even really noticing, to me felt a bit like it wasn't great for the integrity of the competition.
Had they covered him in vanishing spray?
It felt like they might have done.
Lo Celso was very good.
I could still see him.
I don't think they.
Lo Celso was great.
They struggled to contain him. He's a funny player, Lo Celso. I think however many times I see a picture of his face, it will not stay in my head.
Yeah,
I understand what you mean. Actually, I feel like Lo Celso should play more. To be honest. I don't understand why he doesn't play more. I'm just frantically seeing if he's injured. No, because he was on the bench for Arsenal, didn't get on. I know that the fact that Lo Celso didn't play wasn't their problem against Arsenal. Jamie Carragher did a brilliant bit on Monday Night Football about their shape of their midfield, which I didn't really properly appreciate. It was horrific.
It was awful.
It was great.
More of that.
Yeah.
More of the same, please. Well, Spurs play Aston Villa this weekend. And we'll be hoping that Emi Martinez has had a big old sesh on the PlayStation before the game, the night before the game. He said in an interview this week, I play 2 hours with the PlayStation every night. I take it with me to every place. Before the Copa America final, I was playing Call of Duty. The national team is very unified because we played that among us, FIFA, ping pong. Before a knockout game, we got 10 guys in a room and we played until 2 a.m.
I love that confidence.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be saying that. I mean, people will be tearing their hair out reading that.
Remember when David James said this? And he was, I think, away to Middlesbrough maybe in the cup.
When he was playing for Liverpool.
That's right, yeah. And there was a couple of easy goals and people blamed his lack of concentration.
Well, he himself said, didn't he? That, like, he sort of held his hands up and said, yeah, I've been staying up too late playing too many video games. This is slightly different though, isn't it? Because he was, using it as a reason for his mistakes, whereas Martinez is just like, yeah, I love the PlayStation.
Yeah, Martinez is really... I mean, that celebration at Old Trafford, he's really grown in confidence. Yeah. Think about it, Jim, when he was that bench warmer at Arsenal.
Absolutely.
Came on, he won the FA Cup, as we said recently, and he seemed like quite quiet. And then I don't know, like ever since the Copper America, he's just been properly like, yes, yeah, of course I should behave.
I personally quite like a shit in football.
Oh no, he's great.
But I think it's a bit of an, it's quite an interesting story, his journey.
Yeah, it is.
Because he basically got that reputation and got that move to Villa off the back of some performances for Arsenal, who were basically saying they weren't going to pick him.
Yeah, I mean, he had always stated, even when he was like established himself as the second choice keeper at Arsenal, that his plan was to establish himself in the team and then become Argentina's national team goalkeeper. And he obviously had to move to make that happen, but he has done it. Mm. And, you know, presumably every footballer has a plan like that, but very few of them execute it. And I can't wish him anything but well.
Especially for this weekend's match against Spurs.
Yeah, indeed.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Before we go to a break, if you want more European football chat, you know what to do. Get over to Football Ramble Presents for this week's On the Continent, where Dotton and Andy were joined by the wonderful Nicky Bandini. They look back on another mad Champions League week and some of the recent crowd trouble in France. Listen now. Right then, let's have a quick break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Five in the wall, and it looks like a skirt to boot. Messi goes through.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway. It's time for emails.
Yes, James Rand has been in touch. That's James Rand, not Randy, the famous skeptic.
Oh, that documentary is amazing about James Rand. Have you seen it? I can't remember what it's called. It's really good, though.
I'll give it a look. Tuesday's chat about magazines being thrown onto the pitch reminded me of the following from 2001. Charlton defender Steve Brown committed a blatantly obvious handball to prevent a goal-scoring opportunity, but got injured and was taken off on a stretcher. Whilst he was being stretchered off, the ref showed him a red, to the fury of the Charlton fans. The club had placed magazines for the club shop on all the seats before the game, all of which got chucked on the pitch in protest at the decision. The Leicester players were seen browsing through the catalogues on the pitch. Brown later admitted he wasn't injured, just faking to try and get out of the red card. Just a shame all round, isn't it?
When I was a kid, I played for my school rugby team for a bit, and there was a kid called Brian Snowden. I don't know what he's up to now. Shout out to Brian if he's listening. He won't be listening.
Big Brian.
And we were playing against our rival school, Bay House.
Oh yeah.
And um, they uh, it was a really close game. And right at the end, Brian Snowden, who was playing fullback, for those rugby fans who know what that is, he dropped a ball, a big kick, and he dropped it. And one of the Bay House players nicked in and scored the try to win the game. And Brian insisted that he'd really hurt his ankle, and that's what had happened. And he kept up that pretense at school with a limp for about 2 weeks. And there was clearly nothing wrong with him. Oh, so all I'm saying is it can happen from quite a young age. That's crazy. We must have been about 13 or 14 at the time.
Talking of magazines and Leicester players having a browse through and so on, obviously told the story recently of the, I can't remember if it was the Chivas goalkeeper or Club America goalkeeper when he was reading the magazine, the Derby, and all the magazines came down. There's an interesting goalkeeper in Ghanaian football history. Died quite young, quite tragically, but Robert Mensah, the goalkeeper, who was one of Africa's greatest goalkeepers ever, apparently. Jonathan Wilson wrote an excellent article about him a few years ago. But he would often mock opposition players by reading a newspaper while goaltending.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a real character. He was often nicknamed Yashin because he used to dress in all black.
That's a proper 1950s... dig that, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Reading
from a broadsheet.
He was operating in the 60s, but yes, you're right.
See, but like a little boy, the paper boy came and delivered it to him with a flat cap on. Hello, mister. Here's your paper.
Exactly. Yeah.
Great stuff.
But yeah, very interesting.
What about this from Connor Martin? It says, hi, Ramblers, international listener, first time emailer. I'll give you a pass on that, Connor, because obviously the emails take longer to get here if they're further away.
They go by air email, don't they?
Yeah. Is it, I was born in Derby, said Connor, but to the disappointment of my parents, I'm a Blackpool fan.
Ah.
Fast forward 20 years and I now reside in Dallas, Texas. On my return to the beautiful seaside town in 2019, I was unfortunate enough to witness my beloved Tangerines lose 3-0 at home against MK Dons. Obviously, Andy Brassel's MK Dons. My question to you and other listeners is, what's the furthest round trip you've done to watch your team take a battering, home or away? Can anybody beat my 9,134-mile round trip? I checked that, by the way, and he's absolutely spot on. It's exactly the amount of miles it is.
Yeah, that's very good.
If anyone can beat that, get in touch. Show at footballramble.com. You do hear some crazy stories of away trips for particular games.
Yeah,
I can't really... I think the furthest away I've been to see... Portsmouth. I never went to any of their away games in Europe when they were in the Europa League. Probably Leeds, the furthest away I've been.
Yeah, Old Trafford for me.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, Etihad for me. So I mean, nowhere near that.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
we're lazier. We're much lazier.
Far lazier.
Yeah, but we don't live in Texas, so you know we live where.
Do you not live in Texas?
Not usually.
No. Okay. Right. Good to get a confirmation.
Intrigued as to how he ended up supporting Blackpool. No information on that.
Let's get correspondence going. Connor,
let us know.
Email in again. You've only ever emailed in once by your own admission, so pull your finger out and do another one.
I have been to Dallas, Texas.
Have you? Any good?
Didn't see Connor there. He's a liar. Show at footballramble.com. Right, everybody. The England squad's been announced. Isn't it exciting, Jim?
It is.
Isn't it? It's like...
Your excitement is making me more excited.
Exactly.
Look at your little face.
It's like...
Ask me.
Come on, you're excited, aren't you?
Yeah.
Big time, big time. It's like we're moving towards Advent.
Yeah.
You know, you're writing up your Christmas lists. This is what it is. An England squad is a Christmas list, really, is it not?
No.
Not really.
Okay.
You don't really get to choose, do you?
Oh, if you're Gareth Southgate, you do.
Okay, so it's specifically a Christmas time for Gareth Southgate.
Where the gifts you want come to you.
It's like Christmas for the whole country, but only one person gets to celebrate it.
He gets to pick, and we should all be happy with those. It's like if a dictator ran Christmas.
Well, people aren't happy.
They're never happy.
People aren't happy because Jude Bellingham and bastard... Who else? What's the other one's name?
Mason Greenwood.
Mason Greenwood. Bastard Mason Greenwood's not in there.
I liked it, though, when Southgate was asked about this, and he went, well, they don't come as a pair. I thought, that's a good point.
Yeah.
He said about Bellingham, he's young, he's had a lot of fixtures. Some people are just not having that.
Mm.
Other people are having that. Are you having it or not having it, Jim?
I think everything Gareth Southgate does is incredibly methodical, and he will have thought about exactly this, and he will have probably the data from the players' clubs about their fitness and exactly where they are. And Jude Bellingham is very, very young. I think if Gareth Southgate thinks that is the best course of action, we should remember that he got England to the final of the Euros and perhaps trust him a bit.
Yeah, but, I think it's spot on.
But why doesn't he just let everybody off the lead, Luke? Why doesn't he pick a 35-man squad and play 18 of them on the pitch?
I think you know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah.
I completely agree with Jim's sentiment, and I think that, you know, he has earned our trust. We're disappointed in the final of the Euros, but I mean, it's a nice position to be in, isn't it? Being disappointed by the final of the Euros.
Absolutely.
And ultimately, if you look at the makeup of the group, that England are expected to qualify from, they are going to qualify. So yeah, there's no real debate about that. It would be probably the biggest surprise in English football history if they don't qualify from that group. So ultimately, he's got the luxury of being able to try a few players out, manage the load of some players as well, which I do think is important. We talk all the time on this show now about more and more football being played all the time, and there's even plans for more. So I'm not against the idea that he does that. Jude Bellingham was 18 years old. You know, there's no hurry here.
Pele won the World Cup at 17.
He did. Yeah. He did.
But if Southgate himself said, you know, in other walks of life, he may well be playing for the under-18s or the under-21s, yeah, that kind of thing. And he's just reminding people, look, it's okay. Picking Jude Bellingham, as you say, is not going to cause England to fail to qualify for the World Cup.
Absolutely. But, I mean, the counter-argument to what we're saying, is, as far as I understand it, is ultimately this. England looked like in the big game against Italy, they struggled to keep hold of the ball. Mm. They struggled in transition. They didn't really have an outlet. And Jude Bellingham's great at carrying the ball, so he should be part of it all the time.
Yes.
The other argument is Mason Greenwood should be in there because he started the season really well. Raheem Sterling's not playing. Jadon Sancho had a poor start to the season. And Greenwood can slot in there and do a job that, a different job to say, a Grealish.
Well, Jaylings is in there and he's played more than him.
Exactly. So I get it, but I just say to people, don't worry about it. Mm. You know, if he got to the start of the World Cup, and Jude Bellingham carries on the way he's going, and he's not picked for the World Cup squad,
then
there's going to have to be a fucking good reason why.
Yeah, right, enough.
But that's not the situation.
Yeah. Yeah, clearly if he said, I'm saving him for another World Cup, it'd be like, I'll piss off.
Yeah.
But Fikayo Tomori's in there. Fika T is back in the fold.
Yeah.
For the first time since November 2019. He didn't feature very much, of course, back then, but he's in there. Harry Maguire is injured, of course. I'm pleased about Tomori. He's played his way back in there, Jim.
I'm excited to see him as well. There is that nice feeling around this England squad that it almost feels like when a player that's got a call-up that you've been hoping to see a bit more of, it gets that call-up. It's like your club have signed a player, almost.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But also as well, Southgate has to set the agenda, to use that word again, with a core of players. So when someone like Tomori comes in, he sees this is the setup. This is what is expected of you. You can slot in there. There's joined up thinking. He doesn't turn up and go, right, oh, people are looking around and they're new and they're new and they're not too sure. Hang on, sorry. I've got to ask a few people and a few questions. What's going on here? It's all set up. So, which is why sometimes you don't get these mass inclusions of people and so on.
Yeah, which is, that's exactly right, because you have to find a balance even within that. I mean, people are talking about Ivan Toney being unlucky not to be called up into the squad. I think on his form, you could argue, that's not unreasonable, but we are like, what, 5-6 games into the Premier League
season?
Let's
see what his
form
is like.
Give him till the next window, because, you know, Patrick Bamford, you know, was called up into the last one, and, you know, Ollie Watkins is back in there, and he's, you know, he's not firmly established yet, but clearly he's been part of the setup, and he needs his chance as well. So, as you say, you can't do too much at once. And this is, what a luxury. You know, it couldn't be better circumstances for England to be in, that they've got to rotate who they're picking because the crop is so good.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, if this squad comes a month or two later and Toney carries on the way he's going, he'd probably be in there. And you're right.
But it depends what the others are doing.
True, you're right about, you're right about the embarrassment of riches we've got. And Tomori has gone from, I mean, there was a really interesting movement towards Tomori being picked for the Euros in the summer, mostly fueled by people on the internet who wanted to show they knew more about football than other people.
Yes.
And now Tomori is playing at a team.
I'm one of them.
Right. He's playing for Milan, who started the season well. He's playing in the team, and clearly they've looked at him and they want to give him another go because he's already made his debut, as you've said. So, it's a great position to be in. And the fact is, you know, it's not that long ago that England didn't really have any options. What they had done is they had taken the players who were essentially England. It was almost like the England cricket team. These centrally contracted players who always play for England, and there's no matter what their form is like, they're always going to be picked. And then the ones that the level after that kind of first 15 or so players, the drop-off was incredible. Now it seems completely egalitarian. If you play well, you're going to be in. If you don't, you won't. And if you don't get picked, there'll be an explanation for it that we have to accept because of Southgate's record.
Well, Phil Jagielka's not even mentioned anymore, is he?
No, he's not, Jags. And, poor old Jags.
And neither is a man who I would say has played his way into contention, Andros Townsend, Jim. Andros Townsend, he's got his fourth goal of the season already, 3 in the Prem. Rafa Benitez has elevated this man.
He absolutely said, flying, and you've decided to undermine him.
Have you got a comment from Donaldson on this?
I haven't got a comment, Donaldson, because he's gone on holiday because he's worried about this. He's got to go away to sort of think again.
Yeah.
But Andros himself said, I feel like I'm 21 at the moment. I feel like I'm full of life and full of energy. And my goodness, he's showing it, isn't he?
I like that he said... before, and I think I mentioned it at the time, or I certainly mentioned it to one of you guys. He said on the radio when he signed for Everton, I know most people out there think I'm not up to this.
Yeah.
And that's what's driving me forward. And he's showing that he is.
Oh, he is, definitely. Absolutely. And they've got Manchester United away on the weekend, so I fancy Andros to tear it up there. Have you seen, we mentioned Declan Rice earlier, that the noises coming out of Manchester United, our attention has turned from Declan Rice because it looks like you're going to have to pay an enormous amount of money to get him away from West Ham. And they've turned their attention to Calvin Phillips because he's a cheaper alternative to Declan Rice. Do you think Leeds will be...
He's going to knock Leeds 10 million on top of it.
They'll be okay with that, won't they?
Yeah, they won't mind that.
I just can't see, even in this day and age, how that ever happens.
Yeah.
No.
Well, Danny Mills has warned Calvin Phillips that... He won't be welcome in Leeds if he signs for Manchester United.
What a prick. Danny, what a prick thing to say.
to another player in your industry.
I know.
But Danny Mills would know that because he's not welcome anywhere. So he's pretty well-versed in that.
Imagine him with hair.
To paraphrase Andy Brasser talking about someone we wouldn't mention, you see or hear Danny Mills and your heart just sinks. Mm. It just sinks.
Truly a rotten egg.
Yeah. He makes Tim Sherwood sound like Leo Tolstoy.
Yeah, fair one. Liverpool are hosting Manchester City on the weekend.
I don't think we do enough of slagging off of other pundits on this show. I think people are too nice.
What do you think?
I think if they're crap, you should fucking say.
Well, who else do you fancy having a
Sherwood's crap.
Yeah.
Mills is crap.
Richard Keyes. Not a pundit. Yeah, no, I
wouldn't. No, well, the thing with Keyes, I mean, as you've always said, Marcus, and you never shut up about this, actually a very good presenter.
Yeah. He is.
What a stitch up.
He just happens to be complete dreck as a human, doesn't he?
Yeah. I think.
People, I do. I always go on about it.
All I'm saying is there's not enough controversy. Yeah. There's not enough honesty in like, for example, like the reason Roy Keane is so refreshing. I know he's become a bit of a kind of character, but he's not afraid to say stuff.
No, because I would prefer Souness to Keane. Because Souness actually,
really?
I think... Yeah, I would. Because Souness actually, what we were talking about in the North London Derby, I actually sometimes prefer some of the stuff he's coming out with. Because I think he's being very harsh and critical, but he has a point. Whereas Keane sometimes just seems to think that if they're not that handy in a bare-knuckle fight, then I'm not interested.
Yeah, I don't know, but Souness is starting to do that thing where every criticism he has of someone comes back to how he used to play with certain players or under certain managers or in certain competitions, and it's starting to feel a little bit like the latter days of Begbie sat in a bar reminiscing about the scraps he used to have.
Again, I like it.
Yeah. So we're saying they're quite similar.
Interestingly, though, I guess, you know, there are a certain generation of people that watch football that are of that age and probably do that themselves and are that sort of demographic. So it's important for us to recognise that that might need to be catered for, and just because we don't necessarily like it, that doesn't mean it's
invalid. I think the role of a pundit is harder than people think.
Much harder.
Absolutely.
But apologies for the name drop here, but I have actually spoken to David Jones about this.
Yes.
And he said to me, we're always looking for a balance.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't have Graham on every week.
No.
We wouldn't have, you know, it depends on the game. It depends on the situation. We want to get a different balance. So I understand it can be a bit one note if you just have a Souness and a Key and that's it.
Yeah.
It might become a certain type of program and be a little bit kind of uninteresting.
You want a vegetarian option sometimes.
Jim, are you happy to be the vegetarian option on this show?
I don't know how to take that. Yeah.
Take it very well.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it like a vegetarian.
I don't want to increase the hate on the internet because that's a terrible thing to say. Mm-hmm. I'm probably
delete all those accounts. No,
I should probably choose my words more carefully. But what I think I'm trying to say is there should be more honesty about stuff.
Yeah.
And it is a hard job, but you know, you're on TV, you're getting paid well, you should be good at it.
Hmm. Okay, let's have a bit of honesty here. Liverpool facing Manchester City. What immediately do you think? Who do you fancy for this? Because we mentioned before...
Say something outrageous.
Liverpool slightly going under the radar, but then they did win 5-1 away in the Champions League. So if they're not back on people's radars, then they bloody well should be.
Yeah.
But Manchester City have been pretty good despite that loss against PSG in the Champions League.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough old game to call. We were talking about before the show because obviously one of us has got to pick it for our four to score, which is coming up shortly.
Oh yes.
And I was sort of saying to you, I wonder if it's going to be one of those games that just underwhelms because we went through that phase in the Premier League not that long ago where you'd be building up to a big game, and it would be a little bit cagey, you know, bit shit. But
I know what you mean.
That era appears to be behind us now. I was saying on Monday, the start of the Premier League season is actually really exciting and really good. So I don't imagine there's any reason why it shouldn't continue in that vein.
Yeah.
The last time they played, City smashed them, didn't they?
Yeah.
4-1 at Anfield, wouldn't
it? Yeah, it was a proper doing. But Liverpool, yeah. they look like they've pulled the socks up from last season.
Here's a way to answer it then, very, very briefly.
Go on.
If the way Man City played against Chelsea is their new standard and indicative of how they tend to go through this season, I think they'll beat Liverpool. If it was a high point that it's hard for them to replicate, I think it could go either way.
Yeah. Jim, what do you think of Idrissa Gueye's summary of Manchester City when asked about their defending? And he said it was simple to defend against Manchester City because they didn't have a lot of pace.
What I love about this is I don't think he's even aware it's a dig. He's just, again, he's just been really honest and straightforward talking about how they found the game.
Yeah.
It's, you know, to say that Man City don't have a lot of pace in their team is simply not true, is it? But it shows you how comfortable they were. I like it.
You've got to love
the confidence.
You've got to love
it. We want a bit of honesty. We've got it there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's true enough. Apparently, Jurgen Klopp is on a 5-man shortlist to replace Ronald Koeman at Barcelona, by the way.
I mean, it's mental.
Disrespectful to Ronnie Kay, because he's still in the job.
Not bothered about that.
No. And also, how many rocks would you need to have in your head to go from Liverpool to Barcelona at
the
moment?
And how many rocks are shiny rocks? Are Barcelona going to have to dig up somewhere to be able to afford to block to get Jurgen Klopp in?
They'll still find a way somehow.
The chat yesterday from Andy was like, they're going to have to get, you know, the tea lady from Liverpool, not the manager.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like sort of a bit like being a guest star on The Simpsons now, isn't it?
What do you mean?
I know what you mean.
What do you mean?
In that The Simpsons is shit now. It's not what it was. And back in the day, being a guest star on The Simpsons would be a really big thing that you'd be really excited about. But now it'd be like, you know, I'm just part of the decline. Yeah,
you still do it, though.
No, but... Well,
you would still do it.
I'd still do it, but it'd be fucking weird, wouldn't it? Guest star who isn't famous.
It would come from left field. I mean, you probably wouldn't believe the phone call, would you?
No.
No, but I think, you're right. Back in the day...
Imagine the phone call. Presumably it'd be one of the guys who does The Simpsons voices.
Who would you like?
Otherwise,
he could
never
choose whatever
it.
Person he wants
I'd
to call
I'd have to
you.
Be Mayor Quimby, wouldn't it? Sure.
Maybe. I think Mo Sizlak might be able to talk me into it.
Yeah. Sorry, Marcus.
That's often the voice you hear in your head, Jim. Yeah.
Sorry, Marcus, you were talking about football. Carry on.
Liverpool, Barcelona. Don't go, Jurgen, for crying out loud. Don't go.
Retire instead.
Seriously.
Have a year off. Do a pep.
Yeah.
But we've lost the pitch. We're the shittest we've ever been.
Yeah.
Since at least Jurgen Cruyff.
We're basically Nokia. Yeah.
Do you remember the mobile phone company Nokia?
Oi, there's a job going. CEO of MySpace, okay? Do you fancy it?
Would you like to come and work for Kodak?
Nonsense. Yeah. Absolute nonsense.
Got a big fast food company opportunity for you.
Oh, go on.
Is it Wimpy?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it is. Thanks.
We sold loads of burgers when? Yeah. Late 80s, not good enough. Yeah. I'm not interested yet.
Would you like to be the new lead singer? Of
don't say a band I like.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Bon Jovi.
JPJ still there. Still
he is.
Flying
still
high.
Doing it. You still find him.
Exactly.
With his big heels on. He's still got his big hair now. Not he's got a big hair now, has he?
It's still fairly big for a man of his age.
And even if he can't do it, he'll you know, get laser surgery, whatever it is now.
On his hair.
I don't know.
Marcus went to see Bon Jovi twice just to double check the second time they were still as good.
I mean, I get that was a long time ago.
No, but you still did it. I mean, embrace it. It's nothing wrong with that.
No, I liked it.
Keep the faith.
I'm just saying.
it's his life.
Yeah, exactly. Someday you'll be Saturday night.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Well, it's a bit more of a deep cut.
Is that one?
It's a bit more of a deep cut, isn't it?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to bother. Yeah. I'll get sidetracked here. Yeah. But I do want to say, though, that Daniel Sturridge... former Liverpool player. Did have that great season, though. It's finally got a club, everybody. This is good news. If this can't get a bit of Friday feeling in your Fridays, then I don't know what will. He's joined Perth Glory. Bonza!
That's a nice time.
That's lovely.
On the other hand, he's on the bill on the Ramble below the Simpsons and Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how important this news is to the football community at large. We love Daniel Sturridge.
We do.
Great player back in the day. Gave an amazing interview to Melissa on Between the Lines. Seems like a lovely fella.
Is he going
to
do the dance?
His career has gone, I mean, joking aside, it's hard to think of another player who's gone so high, so far down, so quick.
Yeah, because even, say, someone like Joe Hart who did that. Well, Hart still, I mean, Celtic were battered, I know, in the Europa
Different
League.
For a keeper, probably.
But he made some good. But he's still playing in Europe for a huge side. Even though they're not having too well under Postecoglou, but still, like that's
If you think about technically speaking, he was so Daniel Sturridge was still a Liverpool player 2 years ago, 2019 he left.
Yeah,
I mean, it's fast, is what I'm saying.
That was it. I think that's mad.
And
I think
he's 32.
But I think he was on the bench, wasn't he, in the Champions League final when they won it?
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah.
In the squad.
So 32, I mean, this day and age, I suppose, I mean, the game is much younger and much faster now, and he's had injuries, so I kind of get that.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish him the best, I really do.
We do. Hope he tears it up in the A-League.
Oh, big time. Shall we do four to score?
I think we should.
It's time for Betway's four to score, everyone. Each week, all you need to do is pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly 50 grand. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, of course, and further T's and C's apply. We're going to mix it up this week. I feel bad being the person who kind of who governs this section that always makes Marcus go first. So this week, I'm going to go first.
All right.
Game one's going to be me.
Yeah.
It's Crystal Palace versus Leicester, Sunday at 2 o'clock. We've mentioned it briefly. And my pick is going to be Wilfred Zaha.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to go for Zaha. I think he's going to be on penalties. Leicester have been...
They start slowly recently, Leicester.
Yeah, they've also been a little bit underwhelming so far, as we've said. So I'm going to go for Wilfred Zaha. Game number two is Jim Campbell. Jim, you have got, as you know, Tottenham versus Aston Villa.
Yes.
Who is your pick, my friend?
I've gone for Danny Ings because he's obviously a pretty lethal finisher. And I think Spudsy's problems might not be over just quite yet.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting how Spurs approach that game. Very, very interesting. So you've gone Danny Ings. Game number three is our friend Vish. He's got West Ham v Brentford. Here we go.
Hello, Ramblers. It's me. Still trying to work out how to get my heating on this early in the year, but been tasked, more importantly, with getting the first goal scorer right for West Ham versus Brentford. And I'm going to go with Ivan Toney, first goal scorer on Sunday.
Nice choice.
Yeah.
A little click of the fingers at the end there from Vish.
Yeah, that's what he does.
So that's Ivan Toney for Vish. Game number four, Marcus, you get to go right at the end.
Yeah.
Knowing your luck, we're going to get him all right, and it's going to be on you again. It's the big one. It's Liverpool versus Man City.
That's all I've got to pick. The first goal scorer in that. Hard to pick a City player because something you don't know what he's going to have a tinker and so on, but I think Liverpool start fast. I think it's going to be Mo Salah.
Nice.
He was so close against Brentford to getting me the first goal, but I think Mo started the season very well.
Well, just a phenomenal goal scorer.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and he has a good record against City as well.
Exactly.
Right, so Wilfred Zaha, Danny Ings, Ivan Toney, Mo Salah, they are our selections for Betway's four to score this week. Make sure you, if you want to play, that yours are submitted before the first game starts. You can play for free at betway.com/4to-score. But further T's and C's do apply, and you must be 18 or over to gamble. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. All right, then. Now, it's fairly obviously, excitably, time for this. It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
This is indeed why you are all effed.
Effed.
As Vish rather rudely says.
Coarsely.
So, thanks to our mate Jimmy to the B on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
The seedings are in after Marcus's debacle last Friday.
Terrible behaviour.
And it will learn a lot about Marcus, actually, after a 5-0 defeat to a debutant in the shape of
got
Lars
Sivertsen.
Got done
by old Buster Douglas, didn't I?
But he bounced back, exactly. So, this is a battle between Marcus and Jim. Marcus is currently the fourth seed. Jim is the fifth seed. So it's a bit of a mid-table clash.
Yeah.
See if you can force your way back up there.
Arsenal v Spurs, Jim.
A little bit. It's a bit like that.
Hope it pans out the same way, eh?
Because Jim is the lower seed, he, of course, gets to go first. You guys know how the game works by now. A quick game is a good game. The players are chosen at completely at random. They've never been used before since the start of last season on this game. And away we go. The first player has played for 5 clubs in total. I need you to tell me, Jim, how many of those 5 you can name. And the player is Ben White.
Oh, God.
Benny White.
Currently playing, obviously. So a bid from you, Jim, of how many of the 5 you can name?
I can do 3.
You can do 3. That's actually very good.
That is good.
Marcus, can I have a higher bid than 3 from you? Would you like Jim to name them?
I'd like Jim to name them.
Okay, Jim. Quick as you like. No repetition. No wrong answers. How many of those name clubs can you name? You've gone for 3. One at a time. Go ahead.
Brighton and Hove, actually. Albion?
Yeah, correct.
Arsenal?
He's there now.
Of course. And Leeds.
He did play for Leeds.
Well played,
done.
Sir. Well played.
That's 1-0.
Who are the other two?
So he started at Brighton, as you said. Newport County on loan. Peterborough United on loan. Leeds United on loan, as you said. And then he's at Arsenal.
Yeah,
obviously.
Well played for the Leeds.
Forgot always. Leeds, didn't you? Essentially.
Yeah. Well, even if I'd have known it, you had your 3. There was no way I was getting either of the others.
It's okay, everyone, because it's now Marcus's time to shine.
Oh, was that
you
right?
Get to go first. You're 1-0 down.
Yeah.
You've been up against it.
I'm
up against it.
I'm down
I've
again.
Scored early, haven't I?
You've
done in England here.
You have. But as ever, when teams score, that's when they're at the most vulnerable. So, 9 clubs for this second player. He is still. He was definitely playing up until this calendar year.
Mm.
He may have retired. I haven't checked. He's played for 9 clubs in total. It's Hatem Ben Arfa.
Hatem Ben Arfa. Okay.
It's a great player for Duke's game, this. Hatem Ben Arfa. Yeah. Do you know what I have to do whenever I say these names? I always try and say a sentence or two to try and fill the time while you guys are having a think.
I appreciate
it. And it's really difficult not to name any club when you're talking about a footballer.
Uh-huh.
How many you got out of the 9?
That's a real bugger of a one, that is.
What do we think? What do we think?
Hatem, you little sausage.
Can you find the sweet spot? It's absolutely crucial to find the sweet spot in this game. We're going to need a number from you now, please.
Hatem Ben Arfa.
We all know his name.
4.
4, okay. I think that's a pretty good bid. Jim, can you do 5? He's frantically scribbling down on this piece of paper.
I think 5 would definitely involve a bit of a shot in the dark. So I'm going to let Marcus go.
Okay. So your official answer is you want Marcus' name is
yes.
4. Okay, Marcus, one at a time, please. Of course, with no repetition or wrong answers. The 4 of the 9 clubs that our man Hatem Ben Arfa has played for.
Newcastle United.
He has played for them. That's 1.
Paris Saint-Germain.
That, my friend, is 2.
Nice.
Very good. 3.
And did he play for Hull City?
Ladies and gentlemen, Marcus, spell this back.
Yeah. I wasn't sure about
good.
Hull.
Is he currently at Ren?
He's not currently at Ren, but he has also played for
Lille. Oh, okay, because that's the one I thought.
See, I wasn't sure of Lille or Nice.
It's Nice. He's not played for Lille. Lyon, Marseille.
Lyon.
Newcastle United, Hull, Nice, PSG, Ren, Valladolid, and Bordeaux.
He's currently at Bordeaux.
I think he was definitely up at Bordeaux to the end of last season.
Of course, do you know what? Yeah, that's one of those ones I've got a bit fortunate there.
Well, listen,
because there was a few guesses in there, but I had to play it conservative, Jim, because I haven't won a point on this game for a long time.
It's 1-1. It's 1-1.
I'm delighted not to get whitewashed.
You're back on the horse.
That was less likely this week, Marcus.
Well, you never know.
Lars did it without naming a single club. It just led Marcus to water and made him drink
the
loser juice.
I drank it all. I was drunk, horrifically hungover on loser juice. Yeah.
Jim. Yeah. 5 clubs for this next player. You get to go first. It's 1-0, all to play for. 5 clubs. Still playing now. Victor Wanyama.
Okay.
Just nice to hear him named.
It is, yeah.
A big player. A big player back in the day. What do you think, Jim, out of the 5? It's just a relatively small number of clubs. But he is still playing, so you go ahead.
Wanyama.
People listening will be playing along. Count on their fingers on the train how many they can name.
Going to go 3.
3. Marcus, I think it would be a big statement to go 4.
Yeah, but I'm quite confident Jim has 3.
Then it's all in your tactics, then, isn't it?
I'll have to go 4.
All 5 from you, Jim?
No.
Okay. 4 clubs, Marcus, that Victor Wanyama has played for.
I'm trying to think who he's at now.
And I don't get to say this very often, but when I do, I always enjoy it. If you get him, I'll give you the money myself.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
What have I done?
Here we go.
Okay.
You never know.
Celtic.
Absolutely.
Southampton.
That's also correct. That's 2.
Spurs.
That's your 3, so you're 1 short.
Where did he go? This is just Napoli.
I'm afraid not. That's a point to Jim.
He's in MLS, isn't he? Because I can't remember the team, though, because he had that spaghetti thing recently.
Is it Montreal?
Right, yeah.
That was your 4th. The 5th one is Beerschot AC.
Yeah.
Which, they're a Belgian team that they actually have lost their pro status now for those real nitpickers among us listening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But at the time he played for them, they were professional, so they do count.
There you go.
Okay, Marcus, you were 2-1 down.
That was one of those ones I was like,
it's hard, it's a tough one. Tough one.
Yeah.
You get to go first, Marcus, this time, though, and this player has played for 9 clubs in total. He is Ryan Barbel.
Oh, blimey.
Ryan Barbel. We're getting some great names this week. I'm really happy about this. The algorithm has treated us with great fortitude and respect. The simulation has provided yet again, everyone.
Ryan Barbel.
What do you think? Come on, give us
9
a
9 clubs?
I'm afraid so.
Yeah. Oh, blimey. 9 sodding clubs.
Yeah.
4.
4, that's not bad. I don't think that's a bad guess at all. I think that's a very respectful opening bid. Mm. Jim?
There's too many variables in that for me in terms of what I'm confident with, so I'm going to Lars Marcus on this one.
Okay. It's now known as playing the Sivertsen technique.
Playing with a straight bat.
Yeah. So you want four?
Yeah.
Okay, so of the nine clubs Ryan Barbals played for, one at a time, please name four. If you get this wrong, I'm contractually obliged to tell you, you will lose the game.
I know.
Okay, so four clubs, one at a time, please.
Liverpool.
A safe one.
Fulham.
Double check that. Yes, of course, he's played for Fulham.
Now, this is. I'm actually not that sure about these two, so I'm going to have a go. He played in Turkey. And I'm... Galatasaray.
You got one more to go.
And this one is a bit of a guess as well, but I'm just going on assumption. Ajax.
We must have a decider.
Yes.
Yeah. It's 2-2. Well played. Very well,
well done
under
Galatasaray.
Pressure.
It's very good.
Yeah.
I just thought that was excellent under pressure. Very, yeah. Very good.
That's very kind of you.
Started his career at Ajax.
Yeah.
Had two more spells there. So it's, yeah, Ajax, then Liverpool. Hoffenheim.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
Ajax again. Kasim Pasa.
Ooh.
Or Kasim Pasha, however you say it.
Yeah.
Al Ain. Deportivo, Besiktas, Fulham, Galatasaray, then back to Ajax, yeah, again.
I see, there
I
you
felt
go.
Like there was
you see, that's where it was confusing.
Three clubs in Turkey played.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you had a fairly safe chance there. So
I felt like there was an obvious big one missing, but there wasn't, yeah, really.
Ajax are big.
No, but I had Ajax.
No, but like,
I mean,
a Barcelona
would have been the closest. No, like, so, like a Wolfsburg or someone like that. Right. I don't know.
Yeah. There we go. Jim, you get to go first and decide. It all comes, mm-hmm, down to this. You've got the advantage because you get to lead the charge if you want to. This player's played for eight clubs in total. He has retired from football now. He's no longer playing, but you will know him and know him well. I've spent some time in the man's company. He, as I said to you at the time, I might not have said it on the show, but I'll say it now. He's completely smooth like a dolphin, in the flesh. It's Dimitar Berbatov.
Oh. Dimitar Berbatov.
Eight clubs he's played for. This is, it all comes down to this. You get to massively increase your seeding by picking up a win here. It may just feel like a mid-table clash. It isn't. Is everything to play for. Jim, what do I have from you? From the eight.
And he's played for eight.
Yeah.
God, blimey.
It's the finest.
I'm going to go four.
Four, okay. I was going to say, it's the finest game in football podcasting for a reason. It's, the tension is high. The stakes are high. Marcus, it all comes down to this. Will you go higher than four? Would you like to put the ball firmly back in Jim's court?
I'm going to go five.
Oh, nice.
Go.
I love that. What a great crescendo to this game.
This tactic didn't work last week, but I'm going to give it another go, ladies and gentlemen.
Why not? Jim, do you want six?
I do not.
Okay. So you've got five of the eight, Marcus, yeah, for the win. To
well,
get...
I hope so.
So I think this will be a brilliant comeback after what you had to suffer last week, which, by the way, was your own fault, but you had to suffer it nonetheless. So five of the eight clubs that our man Dimitar Berbatov has played for, mm-hmm, one at a time. It's shit or bust for the win or the defeat. It's a crisis if you lose here. It's a crisis officially. Go ahead.
Manchester United.
Correct. That's one.
Tottenham Hotspur.
That's two.
Fulham.
That's three.
Bayer Leverkusen.
Very nice. That's four. You're one away.
And this is just going on pure assumption. You know, if you've got those four, I'm duty bound to say CSK Sofia.
Fucking hell. He's put all of it, everything on the line, and going CSK Sofia. Do you know what, though?
Marcus!
Oh, there it is!
He's
well
done it!
Done. Marcus. He's back in the game.
Oh, I tell you what, needed it.
Get very, that man some winner juice.
Very well done. He's earned his winner's juice this week. A fantastic 3-2 win. A great comeback after the disappointment last week. I don't know what that will do for the rankings. We shall find out from our friend Jimmy 2 the B later today, I'm sure.
But that is your last frame, last black.
Fantastic.
Bid of four, bid of five. That was my disappointment last week, is to not give anybody the excitement.
Yeah, you kept the nerve this week.
You know?
Jim, you played your part, as Alan Pardew would say.
Did the four you had was them was, minus
Yeah, with
Sophia.
The four you had minus Sofia. I didn't think of that.
So it was CSK Sofia's where he started his career.
Yeah.
I can see the logic behind that. Guess. Yeah. By Leverkusen, Spurs, Man United, Fulham, Monaco.
A Monaco, of course!
Yeah. God,
had a season at Monaco. Pauk. In Greece.
Yeah, I couldn't. That's where he went. I couldn't remember. Yeah.
And then Berbatov in Monaco.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember
when Netflix series waiting to happen
totally,
there.
Yeah,
the photo shoot of him in the casino with the cigar on.
This bloody game, what it does to you. As soon as you say that, you go, yeah, I remember when he went there because that was the epitome of a lovely old job for Berbatov.
And for the Principality of Monaco.
Exactly.
And very briefly for the admin fans among us, he ended his career at Kerala Blasters. There you go.
You always forget, quite a few players went out and played in India, didn't they? You forget about those.
That's right. That's right. My goodness. My goodness, everybody. Well, what a wend to the week's action on the Football Ramble.
Great stuff.
I think you can agree. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. There we are. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the football. We'll be back on Monday.
See you then.
Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Lots of love.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.